On Christ. We've been on this for a few weeks, but it's so important that we keep our focus on Christ and on Scripture and on what God says about where our focus is supposed to be. We, as human beings, operate under the assumption that everybody is like we are. Therefore, if somebody responds differently than we expected them to, or that we think they should, we find them to be odd. Because we expect people to respond exactly like we do.
Yes.
Okay? We expect people to raise their children by the values that we have set. We expect people, if we're kind, we think everybody's kind. When somebody's not kind, we're just surprised and our feelings are hurt that they were rude to us because we're just supposed to be kind. But if you're somebody who is going to hit before you're hit, then you're not at all surprised when somebody hits before you hit. That wasn't on purpose. But we all assume that everybody is exactly like we are. It's one of the characteristics of human nature. And so when we focus on Christ, where we fall and where we lose our focus is we cannot quite grasp that the God who created the universe is not going to love like we love. He loves unconditionally. But because we love conditionally, we just assume God's going to be mad at us. If we make a mistake, we just assume God's going to respond like we would respond. If we do something wonderful, we expect God to pat us on the back. If somebody is doing something horrible, we expect God to take care of it. But when we start focusing on God, we bring those conditions in, and if we are not faithful, which nobody in this room is faithful all the time because we've all sinned.
Amen.
If we are not faithful, we automatically transfer that to God that He might not hear our prayer, or He might not answer it, or He might not. And all of a sudden, because that is our mindset, that is our mind frame, we transfer that over to who God is. And ladies, God is never, ever, ever going to be like we are. Praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. So when you're focusing on Christ, it's so easy to get sidetracked and start looking at the circumstances and the problems because we think we have to take care of it because we have to look out for number one. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Oh, I got to look out for number one. Nobody else will." Well, ladies, if your priorities are right, I'm going to tell you look out for number one every time because number one should be God.
Amen.
But if you are number one, that's not a good slogan for you. So when somebody tells me I need to look out for number one, I always say to him, "Who's number one?" And then I decide whether I agree with that or not. Yeah, there's a veterinarian, and she needed to go to the doctor and get a checkup. So she made an appointment with a brand new doctor, and she went in, and she said, "You know, I'm coming here. I just need a complete physical." Doctor said, "Okay." He said, "Do you have heart problems in your family history?" "No." "Okay, how about diabetes?" "No." "Well, has anybody ever died of cancer?" "No." "Okay. Well, let me ask you about your habits. Let me talk to you about your daily habits." And she goes, "Man," she goes, "you know, in my profession, the patient comes in, we don't have to go through all these questions. I just examine them and give them a pill and I'm done." He goes, "Okay. Well, if you want me to be like you, I'll give you a pill, and if it doesn't work, tomorrow we'll put you to sleep. But you see, we think everyone is going to be like we are. And because of that, it's very difficult for us. It takes the grace of God to be able to trust God beyond your own reasoning. And that is where focusing on Christ becomes so important, because when everything looks like it is not going to happen, it is not going to work, this is absolutely ridiculous, that is when you know it's got to be God. If you bring God down to your level to have Him make sense to you before you're going to trust Him, you are so mistaken. God is way bigger than you. Isaiah 55, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I am doing exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or even imagine. So in your wildest dreams, you imagine it, and God's saying, that's not even close. So we got to learn that when we focus on Christ, that means that circumstances, situations, emotions, people, problems do not come into the equation. Because with God, nothing's impossible.
Amen.
Amen? I want you to go to 2 Kings. We're going to look at a couple of times where focusing on God was so significant. 2 Kings. And go to chapter 6. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament. It is behind Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then you'll get into Joshua and Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and then we're going to go to chapter 6. I want to start with verse 8. Okay? Everybody got it? If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up a camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Armenians are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? All right, there's somebody here letting out our secret, he's thinking. None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officials, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. How many of you have been there? Oh, no, what am I going to do? This looks horrible. What am I going to do? Elisha prayed. Ladies, underline this in your Bible. Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The enemy came toward him. Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Okay, ladies, listen to what Elisha's praying. He knows God's going to take care of everything. He knows it. Elisha just knows God's going to do this. And he prays, oh, open his eyes so he can see what you're doing. open his eyes so he can focus on the Most High God of Israel. Open his eyes so he can see the miracles before they even happen. You see, we're all praying for miracles. Oh, we should be praying, God, open my eyes so I can see what you are doing in the midst of the chaos, when the horses and chariots are surrounding me, when it looks like my very life is going to be taken immediately. Open my eyes so I can see your deliverance.
Amen.
That's focusing on Christ. You see, he was in a horrible situation. That's focusing on Christ. Go to Matthew 14. We're going to start with verse 22. Matthew 14, we're going to start with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Okay, they're in a storm. The wind is blowing. Ladies, we all have storms of life. You know, and we think, okay, it's just a little bit calm, and then all of a sudden the wind picks up, and that calm is gone, and the storm is worse than it's ever been. How about it? Yeah. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. Now listen, he sent them out earlier. He waits until the fourth night of the watch to go out to them. He waits until the middle of the night. Isn't that something? He could have stopped the winds and waves from right where he was. He could have gone there as soon as it started. If Jesus has you in a situation, he has you there for your own very good, Scripture tells us. And whatever is happening, you're going to come out on top, and it's all going to work together for your good.
Amen.
It is not that he has forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. But he's waiting till the fourth watch. He went out to them walking on the water. The disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Let's all say that together. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. That's what he's saying to each one of us. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Now, Peter is like every one of us, isn't he? All right, I see this man walking on the water. That's not enough to convince me. That's not enough to convince me. How many more miracles do you need? How many more do you need? He has done so much in every one of our lives in here. But yet, when we come to the next trial, we're saying to Peter, just like Peter, "Oh, if it's you, tell me to walk." How many more miracles do you need? You know, God is saying, "I have never let you down. I have never let you down. How many do you need?" But I love Peter because he's, you know, he's with Jesus all the time, and he's still saying, "If it's you, if it's you, tell me to come to you." I love that, because we're all saying that at some point in time. "God, where are you? God, if this is really you, I need a sign. God, you've got to show me something." And you know what? The wonderful thing is Jesus never says, "Peter, I am so sick and tired of you." But you see, we do that because we transfer who we are onto who God is. And when we doubt, we say, oh, God's going to be so mad at me, because we would be mad if somebody doubted us after all that. But God, Jesus never says that. He never says that. He says, come. Isn't that wonderful? In the midst of all of this, in the midst of every bit of it, the only thing he says is come. And that's what he's saying to every one of us. Look, just focus on me. Just come. Forget everything else that's going on. I'm here. I am in control. You are talking to the one who created the winds. I'm the master of the winds. I'm the master of the storms. That's who you're talking to. Just come. Focus on me. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Oh, isn't that exciting? I cannot wait until I get to heaven and I'm walking on the water. I'm going to walk on that crystal sea and say, look at me. I probably won't, but I do think that's from time to time. By that time, my pride will be so destroyed that it won't matter, right? But I do think, you know, that's amazing. Peter is walking on the water. It's one thing for God himself to walk on the water, but it is something else when God himself allows Peter to be part of the miracle. Ladies, there's something going on in every one of our lives. And for some of us, God is just going to take care of it. For others, he's going to take us through something because he wants us to be part of the miracle. And if he takes you out of it, you're never going to walk on the water. The only reason Peter can walk on the water is Jesus waits until the fourth night and lets the wind keep blowing. Yeah, some of you are going to walk on water. Isn't that exciting? You're going to be part of that miracle. Yes. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Ladies, as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at his circumstances, things went downhill. And I'll tell you, we will start out and our focus is on God, and we're like, God, this is your problem. You've got it taken care of. My trust is completely in you. And the phone rings, and it just does somebody adding even more pressure to the problem. And all of a sudden, what we just prayed 10 minutes ago is gone, and we're looking at the situation again. Yeah, don't answer the phone. Cindy.
It's the first time I've ever noticed it. Seeing the wind, and that's like invisible. So like,
right.
He's not even seeing anything of substance.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. He is looking at the wind. But you know, a lot of your problem, you know, I don't know about you, but when I have a problem, the more I think about it, the bigger it gets. I have had some problems that started out with something that God could have taken care of quite easily. And by the time I finally take it to him, it has consumed my whole life.
Amen.
Yeah. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, not the circumstances. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Lord, save me. Now here again, we're going to transfer what we would do. And when we take our eyes off of Christ and start looking at the circumstances, how many of you said, oh, I had a faith failure? Oh man, I really blew it this time. I'm going to get exactly what I deserve because I didn't trust God enough. How many of you have been there? I have. You know why? Because I am reacting the same way I would react if somebody else was doing it. And I've transferred who I am onto who Jesus is. But immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Oh, he asked him, but he didn't do it while he was drowning, you know. And way to go, Peter. Way to go. Go ahead, go down under again. No, he immediately reached out his hand and caught him. What a beautiful picture of the mercy of God wrapped into the miracles of God, wrapped into our ability to trust him no matter what is going on, good, bad, or indifferent, wrapped in the fact that it is not who we are, but whose we are that makes all the difference in what God can do in our lives. Yes. Oh, get your eyes off your own failures. Get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes off of all of those situations and keep it on Christ. And when you fail, the first thing you should be saying is, Lord, help me. And immediately he will reach out his hand and bring you back. That should be a comfort to every one of us. And if you're anything like me, you're probably saying that about 500 times a day. Yes, Lord. And he says, why did you doubt? And then they climbed into the boat. The wind died down. See, the wind stopped. Everything became calm. But it was after Peter became part of a miracle and experienced the love and mercy of Christ himself.
I just want to make a comment where it says, when Jesus stretched out his hand, it reminds me as Christians, it doesn't matter how close we are to Christ, you know, how they went higher and lower, sooner or later we can fall. And Jesus is that close. And he stretched his hand.
That's wonderful, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's exactly right. That's a great point. Yeah, do you see this, ladies? Do you catch this? Focusing on Christ is so key. But when you don't, the quickest thing that you can do to correct it is say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I want you to go to Psalm 121. And we're going to see what David did. I love this psalm. David tells us exactly how to get our help. Psalm 121. David tells us exactly how to get our help. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth, the wind, the problems, the situations, my help comes from the Lord. So what do? I lift my eyes there. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.